Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Listen to the words written by Mr. Toplady over 200 years ago, but still as true and needed today. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from guilt and make me pure. And especially those words, the double cure, save from guilt and make me pure. Some only want to be saved from guilt, do not care to be pure. Some think they are pure, but do not realize we must be saved from our guilt, forgiven, justified. We need both to be justified by God and sanctified by God through Christ. Listen to the words that they're sung. Reading today again from John chapter 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, this was his audience, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's seed, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Let's give thanks for these words. Spoken was 1900 years ago to the audience before Christ at that time. But they are equally as much his words for us today. What kind of an audience are we? Particularly in the church. Let's pray that we will not just be described as hearing these words and believing on him, but continuing in the word and knowing that we must be set free and continuing till we are free. Listen again to the words of the song. Be of sin the double cure, save from guilt and make me pure. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ, the perfect one, the perfect teacher, thy perfect Son doing thy will, the perfect one on the cross who could say it is finished, who could go to that cross without his own sin, but bearing our sin, the sin of the world. And we pray, Father, that we might know that it is for the Jew and the Gentile, that it is for those in the church and in the world. And though the church should be thy body, Lord Jesus, and should be saved from guilt and be made pure, we know that often we are born in the church in the flesh, but not born of the Spirit. Much like Ishmael, described as he that was born of the flesh, persecuted him that was born of the Spirit. And we sadly have seen that, Father, from the beginning, with Cain and Abel, with Esau and Jacob, with David's sons, and throughout all history, sadly, in the church, both as we see it in Scripture and as we can see it and know it in history, there have been those that have, instead of love to thee and love to their neighbor, had only pride and hatred and murder, like these here. As thou didst say, Lord Jesus, why do you go about to kill me? And though at times they would deny it, we know it was true of them as it was here, and how they proved it later in their deeds. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt teach us, so we can and will learn, that thou wilt, Lord Jesus, teach us, as on the day of thy resurrection, when thou didst open the understanding of the apostles, that they might understand the Scriptures, and then tell them the scriptures and give them the scriptures that they could believe, and then later make it known, particularly on the day of Pentecost, as well as we believe, make it known to each other through those days before that, and then be found in one accord in prayer and supplication. Teach us to do that. Teach us the need of it. Teach us the need of knowing the answer to thy prayer, Lord Jesus, that they might be one, that the world will know that thou, Father, hast sent Christ. We pray for these spiritual blessings first for thy glory. And as thou dost teach us, Lord Jesus, praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray particularly it might be done in the church, so the church can again be a salt and a light in our generation. We pray, Father, also for the other temporal things. We give thanks for the many blessings that we have that others do not have, in food and raiment and shelter and peace, the blessings in nature. We pray, Father, that as we have this food in abundance, we might have strength from it. We need that as much as the food itself, and we pray for those who are in suffering in so many ways, the hungry, the starving, the homeless, the war-torn lands, and the many other calamities that are there, the persecuted. We pray for the sick that they might experience healing, and the injured as well, but also, Father, that they might have grace to bear under, that they must go through life with these pains and illnesses, and especially we pray for those who will soon meet the end death because of it. We pray, Father, for the hungry, that they might have the blessings in nature, the blessings of peace. We pray for the homeless, that they might again have countries where there is peace. We ask all these things and give thanks through Christ. Amen. Looking again at this, because it is an ongoing need. It was then. Literally, this was true of most of Israel from the very beginning, when God chose them as a nation, calling Abraham, giving promise to him and his seed after him, and the double seed, really, that God spoke of to him. One was that he would give the land to his seed. The other was that in his seed, which was Christ, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. God gave him those two promises right in the beginning. And the one is particularly true for us today, throughout the whole world. For myself, I don't need the land. We need, even as Abraham knew, a city whose builder and maker is God. They had here no abiding city. And both Jew and Gentile need to learn that. We need to learn the brevity of life, the certainty of death, and the need to hear God's voice today and hear this word as we have read it. It was so needed for them and many in the church today have followed in a very much the same course. When they heard these words, they believed on him. Today, we might call it easy believism. We hear part of the word, and we believe it, and we say, we're Christians. We are God's children. And some are even told they're Christians before they can even hear the word. They're pronounced Christians. They're pronounced born in a Christian home, and they think, with these people, we're Abraham's seed. We are like the children of Abraham. And they even tell each other, then, as God promised these things to Abraham, so he promises to us and our children. God didn't promise to Abraham and his children what many talk about today. God didn't promise to Ishmael what many say is true of their children today. Nor did God promise Isaac and Rebekah that for Esau, what many would say is true today. They both knew. When Abram said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee, God simply said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Not Ishmael, but Isaac. And later we read, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him who was born after the spirit. That's all we can say for Ishmael, Abraham's firstborn. Born after the flesh. And lived after the flesh, persecuted his brother Isaac and had to be cast out of the house because of it. And Jacob, though to blame as much himself, a sinner, as his brother Esau, because his brother Esau was plotting to kill him, his mother said, flee, go to your uncle Laban. And we can go way back to what we might believe are the first believers, Adam and Eve. God clothed them with coats of skin. We believe at the same time he instituted the sacrifices, which were from then on offered, and particularly their second-born son, Abel, offered a sacrifice by faith, right? And Cain, jealous, killed him. The firstborn killed his brother. And Christ gives us the message, every one that doeth evil hateth the light. Every one. It doesn't make any difference where you're born. It doesn't make any difference who you're born to. You are part of the every one. And if you haven't learned that, you haven't repented. You haven't submitted to God's word. You haven't identified yourself with others as guilty. You may be in presumption. You might even be a master in Israel, like Nicodemus. And when Christ said to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can't even see it. Doesn't know what it's all about. I remember when I asked a man once if he was born again. He asked me if I was part of a particular denomination, different than his own. His own must have not taught that. He thought, well, you must be part of that denomination that does teach that. Very, very large denomination. Very old, very much in continuance, in form at least, but not always continuing in the word, as the Lord Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you shall be my disciples. Then you will be on the road of conversion. Then you will be like Christ said, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Have you come from that place of what you might call high priority? A place that you think you can be born in and baptized without repentance, without the law being your schoolmaster, without being shut up under the law, guilty to the faith afterwards revealed, learning that place as Romans 3 teaches so plainly, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Those are things for all of us. Every mouth, all of the world. Aren't you part of the world? Do you think being in the church separates you? It should, if you came into the church in the right way. If you are like those on the day of Pentecost, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you were added to the church the day you were saved, then it's right. Then you have become part of the body of Christ. Then you are in the true church. Then you are in the straight and narrow way. I read today someone criticizing John Bunyan, criticizing his teaching in Pilgrim's Progress, a book written 300 years ago and printed more often than any other book except the Bible itself. Lasting through all these years, you can go in most bookstores today and buy Pilgrim's Progress. It's still in print. And when John Bunyan printed it, had it written, was put in jail for preaching, wrote it in prison, and God blessed it in such a way that it couldn't be kept in prison. It went all over the world. It's reprinted in many languages. all over. I went to India and gave a man in the airport a little tract taken out of Pilgrim's Progress. At first he refused it, asked what I thought of one of our evangelists. What do you think of him? As a retort, I told him, thought it was terrible what that man was doing. But I said this man, John Bunyan, wasn't like that. He was a true preacher of God's word and went to prison because of it. He looks at it, he says, I'll take it. And when he looked again, he said, we had that book in university. He was a doctor in India. God made it find its way there, in the universities of India. God has a way of getting his word where he wants it, to whom he wants it. Has it come to you sharper than a two-edged sword? Has it come to you telling you that the scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and then only, instruction in righteousness? These people didn't have true doctrine. They said, we're Abraham's seed, without knowing with Abraham the God who justifies the ungodly. Abraham must have learned that. He believed on him who justified the ungodly. Paul tells us that in Romans chapter 4. These people didn't know that. They said, we're Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you must be set free? Speaking that to the Lord Jesus. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Here they had heard some of the words of Christ, and hearing those words, they believed on him. Oh, how many there are that will believe John 3:16, or at least part of it. Yes, I say part of it. Probably everything except the word perish. Because without it, you are a perishing sinner. And without it, you will perish if you don't receive and believe on the Son of God for your salvation. To be saved. Not a historic faith. Believe on it as a lost sinner. As Christ said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. If the whole world was like the church and much of its teaching, there wouldn't have to be any hospitals. There wouldn't have to be any doctors. I've tried to give tracts to young people and say, oh, we go to Christian school. We don't need that. We need it. I needed it in church, but I didn't know I needed it for a long, long time, much too long. And took a long time to know the whole truth. First, I was a wayside hearer. Then I was a shallow ground hearer. And for many years, remained in that till God came and convicted me of what I was. A proud hypocrite, a proud Pharisee, like Paul. Paul said, if any man have anything to boast of, I more. But he came to see, as we must all see, I count all these things but dung, that I may win Christ. Garbage. That's what they are without Christ. The Word of God is perfect. But if we haven't continued in the Word, we wrest it to our own destruction. We make it imperfect. We take it out of its place. I did it. Till I came to that verse, John 3:3, that Christ said so plainly to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then I tried to reason, well, which part of the church is right? One says the new birth is like this, you can be born again in your mother's womb. Another says it's like that, you do this and you'll be born again. I'm not so sure that either one are really the way we should see it. Yes, John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb. But Nicodemus was told as a master, a teacher. We would call him today a preacher or a doctor of divinity in his older age. Except a man be born again. And Nicodemus didn't know what Christ was talking about. And Christ had to say to him, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? Nicodemus, probably with these people here, knew a lot. He probably taught a lot. He was a teacher, a master, and he recognized Christ as a teacher too. But Christ was the perfect teacher, and Nicodemus was yet the blind teacher. And what will happen if all we have is blind teachers? Christ said, if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. In the time of the Great Awakening, part of the church under Jonathan Edwards welcomed it. Part of the church despised it. And I read a book the other day where it said, those who were converted, saw their sin, had to be saved, were the ones that were thankful for the Great Awakening when it happened to them. Jonathan Parson, one of the preachers before that, gathered in many people, but he said, I brought them in the church and they were not right. They were not ready. And he says, for himself, I was more in love with my own works than with Christ until he heard the preaching of Edwards. Sinners in the hands of an angry God and believing it. We'll want another one of Jonathan Edwards' messages. Safety, fullness, sweet refreshment in Christ. And as Edward says through that sermon, when they come to Christ, but they must come, beginning with the Word, continuing in the Word, till the Word slays them, and then they know that it must heal them. Christ, the great physician, Christ, whom they called here a Samaritan. They had believed on him, and yet they continued to hate him. They proved what Christ had said earlier to Nicodemus. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And everyone that does evil hates the light. Everyone. I did. We didn't live in a time of persecution like some people, or I probably would have joined with the persecutors like Paul. But that hatred can still be there. Despising it, neglecting it, thinking we know better, going on in our pride. I did, till God said, that's a greater sin than any other sin in the world. And only Christ can give us the double cure. When we come, as another song says, out of my bondage, Jesus, I come. Yes, we must know our bondage. These people here didn't. We never were in bondage. We're all in bondage till we're set free by Christ.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.